Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Thanks, Zach. You know, for more than three decades, Dr. Gary Chapman's five love languages have helped couples better understand how they give and receive love. But what if you're speaking your spouse's love language and they still don't feel it? Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott, along with Dr. Gary Chapman, they have got a new book out there. They say the key may be learning the proper dialect. Today, I'm joined by Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott. They are nationally recognized relationship experts, co-founders of the Center for Relationship Development in Seattle. They've been married for more than 40 years. Les is a psychologist and professor at Northwest University, and Leslie is a marriage and family therapist. The new book that's out, The Love Language That Matters Most, co-written with Dr. Gary Chapman, takes a deeper dive again into those five love languages and shows couples how to personalize love so you truly feel it. Les, Leslie, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Tim, always good to be with you.
Hey, as we get started, you don't have to go very far in the Bible to realize that we are created for relationship with God and each other. And the truth is, in that declaration in Genesis 2:24, it says, man shall leave both husband and mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two twain shall become one flesh. And there's something about the magic or the beauty of that moment. There's no more beautiful thing in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they actually love you. And by the way, there's nothing more painful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they don't love you. Getting this love piece right is everything, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would even say, Tim, it's not that they don't love you, but when they're trying to love you and you don't feel love, that's
right.
The biggest heartbreak of all, right? Their heart is in the right place, but man, they are missing the target.
Yeah, that's the tragedy, because even when you're giving your heart and soul to it, you can miss the target. Wow, that's disappointing.
You guys have been doing this relationship stuff forever, and God's used you guys all over the country, around the world. At the end of the day, we all know that when you ask people what makes for a better relationship, they'll say love, but the problem is they don't often understand what love is, and you're right. They can be like ships passing in the night. This is the Gary Chapman piece on the five love languages, that we all, quote, give and receive love differently, and it can be very true in our own marriages. Take us down that road, because you guys recently partnered up with Dr. Gary Chapman, and God's doing something special. Brand new book that's just come out, something about the love language that matters the most.
Yeah, the love language that matters most. And this book is the result of our own struggle to put into practice the five love languages. Of course, Gary, Dr. Chapman, wrote that book more than almost 30 years ago. And sold, Timmy's only sold 20 million copies. I knew that Leslie's love language was words of affirmation. And so for the longest time, I was like a walking Hallmark card, just of, encouraging her. And man, you can do it. Oh, you want to do that? You'd be the best at that. And I was just like, I thought that's what words of affirmation were. I'd read the Purple Book. I knew her love language. Why isn't her love tank getting filled up? And it wasn't until lots of conversations with Gary and doing some research, we discovered while there are five love languages, there are 22
dialects. That's the magic word. And, you think, okay, that's getting complicated. It's not really getting complicated. It's letting you tune into the nuances that make it right for the person you're loving.
So with her words of affirmation, one of the dialects, and by the way, just to make sure everybody understands, a dialect, we speak the same language, it's English, but the way they speak in Boston is different than the way they speak in Baton Rouge,
right?
And so we have different dialects of love as well. So when you can understand the person that you want to love, when
right.
you understand not just their love language, but their dialect, takes it to a whole new level. So Leslie's love language, words of affirmation,
yeah.
but not encouragement.
No, in fact, I actually felt my love tank draining out. It was like I sprung a love leak when you would give me encouragement, because I would just feel pressure to somehow do a bunch of big things that I didn't really want to do. And I think, oh, wow, am
yeah.
I going to have to do that?
So yeah. it was the very opposite of what, you know, I wanted her to experience. And so it wasn't until we began to do this research and I realized her dialect when it comes to words of affirmation is all about compliments.
Yeah, I love it. If you notice something I've already done that you found to be amazing, and you let me know.
And it's not like, oh, you know, what a beautiful sweater you have on or whatever. I'm sure you love that.
I don't mind that.
But the real compliments are like, hey, I watched you interact with our son Jackson the other day. That was brilliant parenting that you did there. I just wanted you to know.
Oh, I can feel it right now.
Yeah. So you get the idea, Tim. It's the dialects. That's the game changer. And that's why this
right.
love language that matters most is all about that.
So let's go back. The original concept was there are five different love languages, like giving gifts and words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch. Those things all matter. And what we learned from Gary was, Tim, you're probably different than Julie. And if you are trying to love her in the way you give and receive love, that's probably not where Julie's at. And so you can be loving with everything you've got, and Julie doesn't know that you love her. So we got that piece. Now, same thing applies to our kids. You don't love your kids the same way because they're different. What Zach wanted and what Megan wanted were on different planets. We have that, and we learned that. Now, what you guys are doing is you're taking us deeper into the woods and saying it's a little bit more complicated than that. You can actually, quote, match up on love language. Oh, Julie's love language is she likes gifts or she likes words of affirmation. The truth is Julie likes acts of service. If you do things for her, that's where she's at. Man, if you don't take the trash out, you are a dog. What you're saying, though, is you can actually connect there, but you might not still be connecting.
You said it's actually more complicated than that. I actually look at it to say it's actually simpler than that, because now you don't have to just go, okay, it's their love language is acts of service. How do I love Julie? Maybe I know taking the trash out is good. Maybe I need to do X, Y, Z, whatever. It takes all the guesswork out of love languages when you understand her dialect.
Yeah, it kind of makes you an expert, actually, at loving. And by the way, I love what you said, Tim, because you said we tend to organically love the way we would want to be loved out of our own love language. That's why the love language that matters most is not ours.
It's the person in front of you.
Right.
But Tim, when Gary and Leslie and I were working on this, I had the manuscript on a table at a restaurant, and the server saw the title, The Love Language That Matters Most, and she slapped her little pad of paper down on the table. She goes, I know what it is. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, right there, the love language that matters most. She says, it's physical touch, right? Because that's my love language. That's the one that really matters. You know, we all just want to assume that it's whatever our love language
is. Without even realizing it, we do assume that.
Hey, I want to pause just for a moment and let you know you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, your co-host, and our special guest today are Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott. You know them, New York Times bestselling authors. They've co-written a new book with Dr. Gary Chapman, The Love Language That Matters the Most. Let's rejoin our conversation now.
I'm trying to think analogously how my kindergarten teacher helped me save time. I'm having a struggle with that.
No, but I actually love that he brought that up, because yeah. he spoke about the dialect under words of affirmation we haven't talked about yet, and that's appreciation.
Appreciation.
Yeah, that's a dialect. So, yeah.
The three dialects for words of affirmation are encouragement, appreciation, and compliments.
Yeah.
But appreciation is up there, it sounds like, for you, Tim. Now you begin to decipher what is their dialect within that. Wow, you don't have to guess anymore. You know how to fill up their love tank, and that's a game changer.
Well, I kind of love something that you said, Tim, because you said, I remember the green star from first grade or whatever it was. Our love tanks are different. Everyone has a different one. We've been shaped differently.
Yeah. Some right? people have a large love tank. We have a whole chapter in this book, The Love Language That Matters Most, on love tanks. Because Gary never, you know, he just kind of mentioned it in the preface or the early part of what I call the purple book.
As a great metaphor.
Yeah. But we really went into the science of it. For example, you know this already, Tim. You and I have talked about this many times from Gottman's research on this. A love tank will drain faster than it fills.
We can spring a love leak easily when we just nail someone with a critical comment. And yes. So, you know, and everyone's love tank is different. Some are large, some are small. Some can be filled up. Like you said, I don't need it all the time. I could go for a long time on one good, you know, word of appreciation. Not everybody's love tank is the same. We're all unique.
Hey, how do you guys address the whole issue of givers and takers? Maybe some unique personality stuff. Some people just, they seem like they take a little bit more. Their temperament's a little bitey or whatever. I mean, and how do you overcome those challenges with this? I get the love tank thing. I think kids, it's a good way for me to understand it. If you take a lot out of them, man, you're going to pour a lot back into them. And there's some kids who just need an extra bucket full.
And some of that is genetic stuff, higher, you know, our hardwiring. Some of it is how we're raised, our environmental stuff.
Some of it comes, I mean, our family that created us. I mean, some of us have been shaped where we didn't receive a whole lot of love in our developmental life. And so we're a little bit wounded and
maybe a little protective too, Leslie, you know that?
Yeah, right.
And it's hard to break through the shell because it's almost like the more I open myself up to you, the more it's threatening to me, like you're going to hurt me. And I don't. We've all gone through that kind of experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's where Leslie and I were just speaking with Gary to a whole bunch of people in Boise, Idaho this last weekend and talking about the new book and so forth. And we interviewed him on the stage for the last 20 minutes after we'd done some speaking. And we're taking questions from the audience. And this question always comes up. Hey, I don't have just one of those love languages. I don't have just two of those love languages. It's all five of them, right? And Gary gave the answer I've heard him give 100 times, and that is, well, either you grew up in a home where love was so plentiful, everybody speaks, they're multilingual in love, or you are so deprived of love that you are hungry for any of these love languages that comes in.
You guys talk about listening, how important listening is in this new book, because it takes a little bit of work to get down in the weeds here. You know, and to get after it, even though it's highly constructive. If you've got some pain again, you tend to want to, quote, take care of yourself first rather than help the person that I need to be pouring into. How do you guys help people through that challenge? Because, like, I'm not gonna do another thing for you until you prove to me that you love me. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm sick of giving to you because all you've ever done is take from me. And here you are telling me to, quote, I need to love him again. I'm like, no, I don't know. How do you guys help people through that? How do you maybe just get this thing jump-started so people can start, you know, maybe call a truce and get to a place where they can actually open up their hearts to receive again?
Right. Yeah, that unguardedness that is required for true love. I mean, I would say two things in that instance. I mean, Gary would be the first to say, you have to love not from a place of sort of self-interest. When you give this gift of love, you have to just give it. But then the grace of God, I think, is so clear because it is so contagious and so synergistic. In other words, if you do actually love someone and you nail it, their love tank fills up and it brims over toward you. It's almost irrepressible for someone to do that. But it does take listening and it does take curiosity. It's that curiosity question.
I'm glad that you brought that up because this is the issue. And, you know, there's a pretty famous study that was done at Harvard a little while ago on the single most important question in a conversation. The single most important question that we ever ask another person. And I'm not going to put you on the spot, Tim, but you're going, do I know what that is? I know, because it's not what you're thinking. It's not what most people are thinking. It's the follow-up question.
Yeah.
It's do you have more curiosity? Like you meet somebody for the first time. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an attorney. And you might go, oh, you know, something, my uncle's an attorney. He lives down in Virginia and blah, 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 blah. And you just start talking about your stuff instead of going, oh, you're an attorney. I bet you enjoy that work. Tell me about it, right? It's a follow-up question that matters so much. And that's really, and by the way, this word curiosity, it's almost a trigger word for me right now because our oldest son, John, is getting his PhD at Claremont in positive psychology. He's doing his dissertation on curiosity. Leslie and I have never been less curious about curiosity than we are right now, because that's all he wants to talk about. But it really is an incredible thing to offer that, because it involves setting your own agenda aside.
Temporarily, at least.
Yes.
Right? We're not asking you not to value what you need, but set it aside. You know, invest in this loving curiosity.
And that's what will kind of zero, it's like a radar to help you detect how to speak your spouse's or your child's love language, because now you're listening for what they need and when they need it. That's the value of it.
And this isn't a formula, and there's no perfect. I would just love to say that boldly, but it's the practice of it, right? It's staying in. It's just being all in and practicing this kind of love and not assuming that, okay, your acts of service and I know what you like, but it's tuning into, oh, now I know that this is an exceptionally stressful moment. I'm going to respond differently.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So when you can set your own needs aside momentarily to focus on them, that's Christ-like love, right? And it's pragmatic love when you speak their dialect and their love language.
We're fighting time, and I'd like to close this way. Love takes time. You typically get out what you put in. And that goes back to that kind of love bank piece for a moment. But there are probably a lot of people listening where they've lost that love and feeling. Maybe the years, for whatever reason, have kind of stolen things from them. They've grown apart. There's distance. They've lost that connection, that hand-in-hand stuff that you kind of grow old with, you know that. Or some people just kind of are hanging out. And they're just kind of plowing through life and doing it, and not, there's not hate, but there just isn't a lot of maybe joy. How about the word closeness? You guys, talk to us as we go here about the love language stuff. Do you think it really could help us? Do you think we could reconnect maybe again and bring some of that back? Maybe take us to a new place?
Most definitely. And that's why we are so honored to be walking alongside Gary, who, by the way, is 88 years old. But that's why we're so honored to come alongside him. He has just troves of success stories, real life success stories of people that were really at the brink and could turn it around because they set their own agenda aside, their own self-interest aside, and began to thinking about, what's one little thing I can do to fill up this person's love tank?
By the way, when you convey that you're all in, when your spouse sees that energy, that initiative, that perceived commitment to the relationship, that they're engaged, we know from research that that is literally the one thing that can transform your connection.
Let me underscore that and highlight it in yellow and put it in italics. Perceived partner commitment is the number one predictor of longevity and fulfillment in a relationship. And most people don't know this. And it's one of the biggest studies that's ever been done, a huge meta study. And so when your partner picks that up on you, even if it's momentarily, when Leslie said, if you're all in, even if you're all in just for this evening, right? Okay. Don't think of it. Oh, I got to make it. If you're really hurting and this relationship has brought some pain into your life, just for one evening, watch what happens when you can convey to your partner, not through just telling them, unless it's words of affirmation, but through your actions and most importantly, your spirit, your heart, that you're there with them, that you care about this relationship, and that you want to know, what's one practical way I can be more loving to you in the next 24 hours. It's an amazing thing, Tim, what that little thing can do.
It's the cry of the soul to love and be loved, Ovid. you know, you guys, it's amazing what God's doing in and through your ministry. And on behalf of the entire team here, my son, Zach, who co-hosts radio with me now, we salute you, and we want to continue to echo to families everywhere. And by the way, Julie and I, we've seen this work in a lot of couples we've worked with, and it's also worked in our relationship together. It's actually radically changed our relationship, so we're grateful. We're fighting time here. Leslie, this relationship with Gary and this new book, if people want to learn more about that, maybe how to get a copy of the book, or, hey, how to take the assessment, where can they go?
Well, they can just go to 5lovelanguages.com. It's all there, and they'll find it all. And, of course, all of Gary's derivative books.
Right.
This book, The Love Language That Matters Most, this is the first follow-up, the true follow-up to the original message. Others have been, you know, for blended families and other things, valuable stuff. But this is the next step. But it's all there at 5lovelanguages.com.
Doctors Les and Leslie Parrott, thank you guys for joining me.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute.
Leadership expert John Maxwell once said, "We all have uphill hopes, but many have downhill habits." Most people want transformation, breakthrough, success, but few are willing to embrace the grind that gets you there. The truth? The path to anything meaningful, it isn't hidden. It's just hard. 2 Timothy 2 verse 6 says, "The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." Clinically, behavior change is built through small, repeated actions that are tedious and often uncomfortable, but deeply transformative over time. The difference between dreamers and doers? Discipline. So ask yourself right now, who am I when no one's watching? Then choose one uphill habit: reading, praying, exercising, creating, and do it in the dark, because that is where your future is being built.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.